Staying with us, this is Home Affairs. Now, this morning, I have told you earlier that we are talking about maternal mental health. Why is this so important? Well, I try to do, you know, readings around here and there, and you see different numbers, but all the numbers are quite alarming. That, for instance, one in every eight pregnant or nursing mother has some form of maternal mental health. Could be depression, could be anxiety. Sometimes, you know, it's as a result of, you know, substance use and all of those. And one in eight, I am actually even hearing that the numbers are even more alarming here in Ghana than it is. We're turning right away to Dr. Promise Sepuga. He is consultant obstetrician gynecologist with SHIP Healthcare Specialist Medical Center. He and his beautiful wife, Oga, are the tops. And he's also a consultant to WHO on maternal mental health in Ghana. So you know that we are actually at the right place. And I know that he has done a lot of work, traveled with a team around the country and done a lot of work. So Doc has a lot of insights to share with us this morning on the show. And please summon your family members, call everybody, even the children. They need to hear about this so that when mommy has baby number one and there's baby number two and they are stressing mommy all over the place, they may be able to pick up a thing or two. You want to call aunties, grandmothers, mothers, everybody who in one way or the other, and we appreciate them. Let's not get that wrong. We appreciate them a lot. That when, you know, a pregnant woman returns from the hospital, there's always somebody at home who is helping her do one thing or the other. We appreciate them. But we believe that there's so much more they can know to be able to support a pregnant woman or a nursing mother so that we can keep their heads, if you like, intact. Doc, you're welcome.
Thank you very much.
And
very good morning to
you. Thank you. You have become like, you know, Home Affairs special doctor.
You know, that early morning waking.
We appreciate you a lot.
No problem.
Maternal mental health. What is it?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I want to thank you for bringing this attention to the subject because it is such an important thing. I don't know how else to put the emphasis on it, but unfortunately, for years, we have neglected it, you know, even though it is potentially causing a lot of problems, you know. So maternal mental health, we just refer to a state of well-being of the mother so that during pregnancy or after delivery, she's still able to cope with the normal stresses of life. And so if somebody is pregnant or has delivered but unable to cope with the usual little stresses of life, then there is a maternal mental health disorder.
Okay. I am going to be asking very, very basic questions, Doc, so that we are able to understand what we are discussing very well.
Yeah.
Especially so in a marriage situation and in our home situations, when a woman is married and you're really expecting a baby, there's a lot of anxiety. I want to be pregnant. I want to have a baby. And then someday you wake up and then you're pregnant. Why should anybody be depressed or have anxiety after something you have desired and wanted so much now comes your way?
And it has come and everybody else is happy around you. Yeah. So that's a good question. So there are so many reasons why during pregnancy, a woman's mood might suffer some dips and lows.
Okay.
Some is just the hormones of the pregnancy. So when a woman is pregnant, the body goes through a lot of hormonal changes. It's the same hormones that will make the woman have a lot of saliva, vomiting excessively, you know, through the first trimester. That can also be depressing because they can't even bring themselves to stand and dress up. They are all, you know, and that can be depressing on its own. As the pregnancy advances, the hips begin to hurt. She sees the bump. She's happy on one hand that, yeah, I've got a baby inside. On another breast, she's thinking, oh, so my shape has been distorted. Is this going to go back? Another time, the pregnant woman is thinking, hey, so this is my baby. Who is she going to look like? Is this baby growing well at all? Is she going to have hair? Luckily, a lot of the women will ask me, when you are scanning them, doctor, can you see her hair?
You
know, the difficult questions they ask me. You know, And how am I going to even deliver? And I'll tell you a little later that sometimes the women even hear things in the community that this pregnant woman went to deliver and lost the baby or lost her life. Oh. They hear it in the news when we are busy talking about maternal mortality, talking figures, talking big, big English. A pregnant man also hears it. And what matters to them is, hey, this is somebody's pregnant. She went to deliver. She didn't make it. What is going to happen to me? So the pregnant woman you see is processing all these
things,
together with the fact that there's a baby growing inside her. The tummy has become so big, she's not able to breathe as deep as you and I can breathe. I'm assuming you're not pregnant.
No, I am not.
You know, and so all these physical changes trouble her.
Mm.
In the third trimester, sleeping becomes a problem, because the hips are hurting. If the woman is even going to turn from one side to the other in bed, it's so painful. It's a lot of work. She has to calculate those movements. When she gets up from a sitting position, the hips are all hurting. There are some two big bones that join right on top of the vulva, the lower abdomen. So on top there, where the pubic hair is, that area tends to hurt a lot because the joints there become a little loose under the influence of the pregnancy hormone, and that is pain. The feet get swollen, you know, somebody's color change, the color goes down. If they was brighter, they're a bit dull. Uh-huh. And then some people get acne, rashes on the face, and then
swollen
at the back
faces.
Swollen faces,
your nose becomes big, your
thank
lips
you, so
you look into the
enough.
Mirror and you can't recognize yourself.
You know, so all these changes are potentially depressing for the woman. And so these are the things that, based on how much somebody can cope, this will dip somebody into depression. So as a matter of fact, we call it perinatal depression because it can happen during the pregnancy. Just that it gets to become more severe after delivery.
Okay.
And then after delivery, one of the important things we think contributes to it is that when the woman is pregnant and the pregnancy is ongoing, we have what we call the placenta, the afterbirth.
Okay. Yeah.
It produces plenty of some hormone we call estrogen.
Okay.
I like to always teach you one
estrogen.
New thing. Thank you.
No, estrogen. That one is cuckoo work. Bring your big one.
Thank you. They produces estrogen and progesterone. So these two hormones, they help the brain to release some other chemicals which are good for producing a calming and a mood-enhancing effect.
Okay.
One of them is called serotonin.
Serotonin.
Mm-hmm. Good. You're coming up really good. You're being a good student. So the serotonin levels
Joy
naturally
99.7 FM
during the pregnancy.
Joy 99.7 FM.
See the funny side of things a little bit. But then after delivery, the placenta is out.
Okay.
So estrogen levels drop. Yeah. Progesterone levels drop. And so the feel-good hormone also drops. At a point where the woman is even going to be facing newer stresses of baby care. And so again, depending on how the woman can cope or not, then depression sets in.
Okay. Very well understood. My last pregnancy was like, 14 years ago? So, but I don't remember the second, you know, the twins and the last one too well.
Right.
But the first one I still remember, because then I'll wake up in the morning and all I want to do is sleep on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk to anybody. And I think for like 2 or 3 weeks, all I wanted to eat was kinki and pepe. No fish, nothing. Every single morning.
That's it.
And I remember that my sister-in-law had to beg me to take my bath, you know, because you just didn't have the energy to do anything.
You just couldn't.
Doc, so these are things that a lot of people have considered normal in pregnancy.
Yes.
But like you're saying, not everybody is able to cope very well with it. Now, let me ask, even before we get into delivery, where is the gap in the sense that healthcare officials know that these changes will come? Some people handle it better than others. I know a pregnant woman who went to the gym up until her 8th month, you know, and so some people are really very strong, upbeat, and very okay. But is it that from antenatals, when they realize that you're pregnant, is it that women, the women themselves, and probably the support systems they have, are not made aware of some of these things and how it can affect you even before delivery?
That's a very good question. And it's very good because it speaks to the very important point, which we just discovered when we just did this national situational analysis on maternal mental health. The World Health Organization, the Ghana Country Office, with support from the UK government, sponsored this study. And it was revealing that when you talk about the situation of maternal mental health disorder in Ghana, there are big gaps. Okay. And a lot of the issues so there is nationally, we don't have a policy in Ghana. And so everything derived from a policy, okay? And the Minister of Health makes policies. So the policy is not there. So because of the absence of that, we don't pay attention to it, unfortunately. And then we interviewed healthcare providers across the length and breadth of Ghana. And so to your question, nearly half, in some cases more than half, up to 70%, of the care providers say they lack adequate knowledge on the subject.
Wow.
Yes.
These are the care providers.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And then we have a problem.
We do. I tell you why. It's primarily because during our training, we don't put enough emphasis on it. I teach in a medical school. You would hardly have a one-hour tutorial for the 1 year that I'm teaching the class that's doing OBS and gynae. There isn't a 1 year, a 1 hour tutorial to talk about maternal mental health.
Are you serious, Doc?
Unfortunately, yes.
Till date?
So these conversations, plus the work WHO did with engagement with academia, we are now going to see some changes. But this is what it has been. When you are training as a specialist to become a psychiatrist or an OBGYN, hardly. So all the learning you do on the subject, I call it as opportunistic. One day you're on one round, somebody has delivered, and then she's going through some mental health. Then we teach around it. So if you didn't happen to meet any of that during
then
the
that's
period,
it.
And that's a big gap across midwifery, medical training. But thankfully, we have identified the gap.
This is unbelievable.
I can imagine, you know. And so that's a good starting point.
Okay.
You know, to identify the problem. So as a result of that, the care provider does not even really have the eye to pick it up that this woman, there's a bit of self-neglect too. There's a bit of mood. So it's not there. You know, what the mind doesn't know, the eye cannot see. You know, so that has been part of it. To the extent that the women are now telling us that we should look forth for these things and support them.
Wow. That is really revealing.
Yeah.
Because before you start saying that the support system you have at home is not even supporting you enough, then right from the people who are supposed to know and
Joy,
teach you,
99.7 FM.
Oh, no, Doc. Yeah. I think this is something we need to take very seriously. Yeah. Because, like I said earlier, at home or the people around you, and yes, usually when you're pregnant and you don't have issues, it's not a high-risk pregnancy, you go for your antenatal. Sometimes people wait till the third month or the fourth month or so before they start antenatals.
Yeah. Which is not a good thing, though.
Okay. Yeah, that was, it's also not good.
No, no, it's not. Because as soon as you realize you're pregnant, you need to report, because up to about 3 to 4 of pregnancies will end up at the wrong side, what we call ectopic. And it only takes early reporting for us to avoid potentially life-threatening complication.
Okay.
Because if the pregnancy ends up in the tube, instead of being in the uterus, at about 7, 8, 9 weeks, it will burst. And the woman bleeds all her blood into her tummy. So whether that woman can survive or not, it's a matter of how soon she gets to hospital and gets into theater.
Wow.
And meanwhile, just reporting early, we do the first scan to say, oh, yes, it's at the right location. That does it.
And if it's not?
If it's not, sometimes the early stages, just medication can stop it from growing. If it's a little too advanced, then a planned surgery, which is less aggressive, can deal with it.
Okay.
You know.
But definitely, it will not be allowed to grow there.
No, if it's not
at the right place.
Yeah, we have to deal
great.
With it. Yeah.
Thanks for that. So what I was driving at is, it's therefore not enough for anybody to tell a pregnant woman or a nursing mother who doesn't seem to be coping well that uchirohododo.
Thank you.
Or, you know, you are not the only pregnant woman around. Thank you. Are not the only person with a baby.
Thank you. You're not the only one who has given birth before. Are you the only, you know? Because, you see, the maternal mental health disorder, we have it in various forms and severities. The commonest you may hear is what we call the postpartum blues or baby blues, where the woman has delivered. The next day, she's just a little moody, not too happy, because she's just not sure how she's going to fit into the new role of a mother. Am I even going to be a good mother? But those are short-lived things. Within 5 to 7 days, it goes away.
That phase goes away.
The next one is anxiety, postpartum anxiety. The woman has delivered, and she's extremely anxious. She wouldn't allow you to even touch the baby. You know, she's extremely anxious. That, in a large majority of cases, with a bit of counseling, reassurance from the healthcare providers, clinical psychologists or mental health nurses, they cope, and that also goes away soon. The next big one is the postpartum depression, okay, where her mood is low. She cannot smile. She's just low in energy, deep from within. She can't explain what is going on.
Yeah. But,
and she can't even bring herself to say, I'm going to look for help.
Oh.
We had a doctor who went through and was sharing a story with us in the National Forum a few weeks ago. She's a psychiatrist. She knows the subject thoroughly. And she suffered this postpartum depression. She just said, oh, I just thought, okay, maybe I'm just going to die, so why bother? Yeah, it can get that deep. And she knew that I needed to talk to my other colleague for help. But she didn't feel the energy and the
to
need.
To do it.
And I have learned that that is also part of the problem. That's how it also manifests. Okay? And so the woman will be severely depressed. Sometimes she say, no, I haven't delivered, though. That's not my baby. Take the baby away. I don't want to see the baby. And a lot of people can relate. But there hasn't been the opportunity for them to speak
about it.
Okay. And the worst one, which we dread, is when it becomes psychotic. We call it postpartum psychosis. Psychosis means the brain is hearing voices when nobody's talking. It's making you see things when there's nothing there. And so this woman, the brain tells her that there is something terrible about to happen to your baby. And that thing is much worse than dying.
Hey.
And so you need to save your baby from that thing by you killing the baby yourself.
Oh, no.
Yes.
She went through that?
And they do that. And the woman will kill the baby because the brain is malfunctioning. So the brain says, this is the way to protect your baby. You know, it's called maternal intrinsic delusion. And so they kill the baby. That's what we call infanticide. They kill the infant.
Wow.
That's a severe form when they have postpartum psychosis. And so there's a medical explanation why a woman after delivery will not be in a good mood. There's a medical reason. So it's important for everybody, including the family, to be a lot more supportive. Because globally, we have been told that 20% of women dying after delivery is as a result of suicide. Yeah, that's 2 out of... Yes. And the suicide is just a reflection of severe depression. So, you know, after delivery, the system we have, we look after you, come for postnatal 2 weeks, another 2 weeks, or another 4 weeks. By the sixth week, we are really discharging you back into the community. And this thing can happen up to about a year after delivery. And the system is not even really monitoring to see where you are, what have you done.
Exactly.
You know. So there is no point for anybody to just dismiss
it.
A postpartum mother that, oh, everybody's happy you've had a baby. Why are you alone being all moody, particularly in-laws?
Doc, bohobium.
In-laws. It came up strongly because apparently in-laws are very powerful, yes.
Joy 99.7 FM.
Around the nation. These are some of the things we heard. So one patient who suffered severe depression after delivery, more than one, they said, my mother-in-law told her son to divorce me
because
you marry her to come and give us baby, not to bring madness into our family.
Oh no.
Another one told the son, don't get intimate with her ever again. Otherwise, you're going to get some of this mental disorder.
And it's all ignorance. You know, yeah, in-laws, but then you also realize that they are very ignorant.
Yeah.
And so this we will have to do right from the basics and keep doing and doing and doing. I read something online yesterday about this mother who says all she's been pleading for is 10 to 15 minutes to have a good shower, to just stay under the shower and have the water run on her for 10 to 15 minutes. She thinks it will make her feel better, but even that she can't get. Why? And she actually did say that nobody should get me wrong. I love my baby and I always want to be with my baby, but those 10 to 15 minutes she thinks will help her a lot. So those minutes, and she was talking about her husband and was wondering if she's doing anything wrong, because her husband still has his 40 to 1 hour of shower in the shower singing and, you know, all of those. And when she steps into the shower and he is with the baby, the moment the baby starts the he comes straight inside the shower with the baby and says that, hurry up and come and take the baby. And she has to rush it and take the baby.
Yeah.
And for her, all she needs is those 10 to 15 minutes quiet time in the shower.
Yeah.
And I can imagine that from everything you are saying, if it continues,
yeah,
and she doesn't get it,
yeah,
it could develop into something else.
Exactly,
for her.
Exactly, exactly. That is what brings the point about the support from the home, you know, because already,
wow,
this nursing mother sleeps maximum 2-3 hours at night. Because every 2 to 3 hours, baby is going to cry. You have to wake up and breastfeed.
Those jobless human beings.
You know, because like I always say, the baby does three things. Cry, feed, sleep. That's their cycle.
And their time.
You know, and that's how they grow. And so the mother already is having a lot of sleep deprivation.
Yeah.
Which already would also disturb her mental health. And so I normally would say during the day, get help. If your mom is around, if your family is around. And so the husbands are supposed to be most helpful based on understanding. So dear husbands, when our mothers, our babies are born and we are happy being fathers, it comes with work. We need to support the women. There is no point that every little cry of the baby, then you call the mother, and the mother to the extent that cannot have 15 minutes. Because the truth is there is therapy in the shower. You know, as the water rushes over your body, it tells them that whatever difficulties you're going through is washing away.
Mm.
You know, it has an effect. So they need a 10, 15 minutes to themselves. So this speaks to men bringing themselves to be a bit more supportive.
And unfortunately, in her case, she has even identified what will work for her.
Yeah.
And so why not grant it?
Just the opportunity to.
Than somebody who is still wondering, I don't even understand what is wrong with me. And it comes across like you're not happy to have a baby, you know. This is Home Affairs, and we have been talking about maternal mental health with Dr. Promise Sepoga, who is a consultant obstetrician gynecologist with SHIP Healthcare Specialist Medical Center. He is also a senior lecturer at the University of Ghana Medical School and a consultant who has done a lot of work on maternal mental health with the WHO. We are in the best of hands. If you're just joining us, you have lost a little bit, but there's still so much more to learn. So please don't go anywhere. We will be right back with more. very much for staying tuned in Joy 99.7 FM, and this is Home Affairs with me, Adam Knight. Today we are talking about maternal mental health. Remember, the whole of May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we will be doing a lot when it comes to mental health this month. So you want to stay tuned. And it is very, very, very important that we all take our mental health very seriously. But this morning, the focus is on pregnant and nursing mothers. Now, the joy of every parent is to see their children cheerful and hearty. To achieve this desire, every parent needs to ensure that their children are given nutritious foods that has the essential nutrients and multivitamins which can promote their welfare. One of such nutritious beverages is Vitamilk soy milk drink. Vitamilk soy milk is made from natural soybeans, which is a good source of plant protein, vitamin B1 and B2. Vitamilk has no artificial coloring, no artificial flavorings, and no preservatives. And for over 20 years in Ghana, Vitamilk soy milk has been consistent with its product quality, sumptuous taste, and its vital nutritious benefits. So go ahead and choose Vitamilk Champ for your children, because it has plant proteins and it is nutritious, amazingly delicious, and satisfying. Vitamilk also comes in the regular soy milk drink. You can have it in the multi-cereal with no caffeine. It comes in choco, banana, strawberry. You can also have it in your 250 ml and 1 liter Tetra Pak. Vitamilk is indeed a nutritious beverage that feels good anywhere, anytime. And oh yay, we're getting close. Adanse travels with Drive Time. Imagine enjoying the urban pulse of Joburg, the scenic beauty of Cape Town and majestic mountains of Lesotho, or the thrilling sunset in Sun City. Well, imagine no more, because Adanse Travels and Joy FM invite you to join Lexus Bill and the Drive Time team as they explore South Africa this June. 4 exciting packages to choose from, so listen carefully. 1, Joburg, that's the 5th to the 10th of June, starting at $1,390 per person. Joburg and Cape Town, that's from the 6th through to the 13th of June, at a promo rate of $1,790 per person. And you have Joburg and Sun City from the 4th to the 11th of June at $1,690 per person. And you also have Joburg and Lesotho 4th to 11th at $1,750 per person. To crown it all, you have an opportunity to attend the Legends and Legacy Ball on the 8th of June at the Sandton Convention Center in Joburg, with a special performance by the iconic Yvonne Chaka Chaka and many other renowned artists. So don't let this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity slip away. Seats are filling fast. I have secured mine. Call Adanse Travels on
0 Joy 99.7 FM 0====, 0====, 0====, 0====, 0====, 0====, 0====, 0====, 0====, 0====, 0====, 0====, 0====, 0====, 0====, 0====│,
or visit AdanseTravels.com to secure your spot. Feel life's beauty with Adanse Travels and Joy FM in South Africa. Back to our conversation on maternal mental health. Doc, I want to find out, we've talked about, you know, some of the effects, you know, of to the extent that some women can commit suicide, they can kill their babies, they're hearing things in their heads, they're seeing things that do not exist, they just can't get a hold on themselves. It can affect them in so many ways. Now, I want us to talk about how to even identify some of these things. Okay. Again, we're waiting for the national policy, and I know that a lot of things will feed into it. For instance, having it properly enshrined in your syllabus and the curriculum and all that, it will all fall into the policy. But ahead of having that one big document that we all will feed into, you know that when this woman is left from the hospital and she goes home, again, this is Home Affairs, so a lot of my questions will be on the home. Sure. We stay in the house more than we stay in the hospital,
that
don't
is
we?
True, yeah.
So if I have a pregnant woman or a nursing mother around me, what do I begin to see that will make me realize that this person may be having a challenge, and if I see it, what steps should I take? Sometimes you may, I mean, people end up talking about it and telling that I feel A, B, C, D. And then if you don't take care, you trigger the person even more. Yeah. Oh, so you are telling me that I'm going mad, and that becomes another problem. So one, what symptoms will I see around this person who probably is not even realizing it themselves? And if I do, what immediate steps do I have to take as a carer?
Good. So that is a very practical question, you see. But it even starts with the woman herself knowing her risk level.
Okay.
Because, for instance, if the woman had a history of any pre-existing, say, a bipolar disorder,
okay,
then you know that when you get pregnant, things might get worse for you.
Mm.
Uh-huh. And so you know yourself. And so that it's good you know your risk level, so that when you are pregnant and to some extent you don't seem to be handling well, you probably need help.
Okay.
The other thing is, when you are pregnant and you feel anything, you know when you are happy, you can tell. Uh-huh. You need to promptly seek help. Now, the help, majority is from us, the healthcare providers. Sometimes it's from a trusted family friend. What we want is step forward and speak about it.
Okay. Uh-huh.
You may speak to somebody who is not well versed in the subject. They will pass you on to another person. Now, theoretically, we know that somebody being pregnant for the first time tends to be at a slightly higher risk than somebody who's delivered before.
Okay.
But a study we did in Ghana did not quite confirm that. We found actually that the woman who had just had a third baby was at the greatest risk compared to when she had a first or during the second pregnancy. And when we probed into the data, we realized, well, it could be due to the fact that the care,
yes,
and the resources.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So I've just had a third baby. Hey, how am I going to get money to look? The Ghana is hard now. Then that is it. And as a matter of fact, nationwide, almost every patient who has suffered this before, they mention poverty,
yes,
as a trigger.
Mm. Mm.
So when the people are poor, people cannot afford basic necessities of life, it tips them into depression,
yeah,
and for that matter, postpartum depression.
True.
You know, and then we have also learned from this work that, unfortunately, when we the clinicians say to Madam A or Madam B, based on your peculiar medical profile, it looks like you may be needing a cesarean section to deliver rather than delivering vaginally because of these medical reasons. Some women, the mention of C-section tips them off.
Yes.
Unfortunately. And it does so because the woman told us that we, the care providers, do not adequately counsel them.
Oh.
You know, and all the clinicians we share this with, they could relate, because typically we just talk, yes, so you have placenta previa, so we'll do cesarean section 38, we'll go and see matron, let's do the booking, da 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 da.
Because for you people, it's nothing.
Uh-huh.
It's a very regular thing.
Regular, and so we have, you know, made it the routine, we without paying the little bit of extra attention that everybody is different, you know. And so we are also learning as care providers that these are the things we need to do. We need to, because somebody said, they told me I'll have C-section, and since that time, I became so depressed, I wouldn't even eat.
Oh.
And if a pregnant woman doesn't eat, she doesn't get enough nutrients, she doesn't get to make enough blood, she gets anemia. Anemia means your blood levels are low. Every pregnant woman at the time of delivery will lose a bit of blood. So if your blood levels are already a bit low, the little bit more extra you lose, we're going to be chasing the correction of that anemia in a country where blood and blood products are not directly available.
Mm.
So what that means is, if you are not lucky, that woman could deliver, bleed, and we lose hair. And the reason is because we mentioned C-section without going a little few more minutes
to
counsel her, explain to her, reassure her, answer her questions about it.
Oh.
Some this mention of CS made them so depressed, they have to be on antidepressant medication. Yes. So what that means is, if your relative or you yourself, you've been told that this is the likelihood of the mode of delivery, ask questions. We call it strengthening the demand side. Mm. We want to help you build your capacity to ask questions. Mm. And some women say, oh, I'm shy to ask questions. That should not be. That should not be. That should not be. What's the worst that will happen? You know, so ask questions. Then we can also take the opportunity to and educate you and reassure you and deal with your needs. And that is extremely important. Some said that in the course of labor, they don't get support. Granted, if you imagine a typical labor ward, you may have three or four, in a general hospital, you may have three or four or five or up to 10 women in labor at the same time. With just the curtain separating them. And so the woman said, when I was in labor, I was screaming in pain. I wish there was somebody beside me, but there was nobody. And so they are telling us, and we have listened, and we continue to listen, that let a trusted family, let my partner or my mom be by me. And indeed, there's a lot of therapy in that. Somebody's rubbing your back, say, oh, it shall be okay. The patients say that gives them a lot of comfort and encouragement.
That's very true.
Yeah.
You know,
so the healthcare system also needs a bit of remodification.
Great.
You know, and then others say when our care providers address them or treat them and we don't smile, it makes them worry.
Please smile.
I tell you. So we are telling all our care providers now that smile to your patients. It doesn't cost anything to smile. Everybody has problems. But when you come to work, leave your problems at the entrance to the hospital.
You have signed up for this.
Smile to your patients in labor. Patients say that when one woman narrated her story. She said, when I was screaming in pain, one nurse came and said, Auntie, you are making noise.
Oh.
Another patient said, when she was in pain, another nurse came and said, oh, Auntie, it shall be well, okay? Oh. God will see you through, okay? And those two lines, this woman is holding on to that so many years after delivery, okay? So we are also telling our care providers that this little soft show of kindness to a woman in labor, it goes a long way
to help them.
You know, so if as a patient or as a relative you notice any of these abnormal presentations in the mood, there is help. Let's not just dismiss them and say they are just, you know.
Doc, how do you go about it? Most importantly, say you have noticed some of these things. Okay, you have, I mean, a nursing mother, for instance, at home, supposed to eat well. Mm-hmm. I mean, not go and eat all the food in the world, but you're supposed to eat well.
Sure.
You know, if you have help, you should be able to sleep a little.
Yeah.
Be able to do a few things. Mm-hmm. But you realize that the person is just there.
Yeah.
They won't do anything. How do you go about it?
Yes. So the lack of awareness is also the problem, which is why we are on this drive. The World Health Organization, Ghana Health Services, we want to create awareness even among the community members. Mm. So that now, listening to us today, you can tell that, okay, so after delivery, when the person was all moody and would lock themselves up and say, no, don't bring the baby, I don't want to see the baby, or I wouldn't eat, there is something wrong. So we should be the ones to say, let's go to hospital, because we want to create awareness. We ignore them because we do not know that there's a medical reason. Yes. So now we know. We are saying it in the churches, in the community debates, that there's a medical reason why these are happening. And we also want to teach the pregnant women themselves and their partners during the antenatal period, when they come for the pregnancy schools, that these are some of the things that may happen. So because of that awareness, people are going to know. And based on that, they can take the necessary steps to seek help.
Great. I want us to look at the church's contribution to this, because we're very religious people. But before then, let's talk about how these can affect the baby as well, because we know that it's not just the mother. Of course, the mother will be the primary sufferer, but there is a reason the mother is feeling that way.
Yeah.
See, that the fetus or the baby, how are they also affected?
Yeah. Unfortunately, this greatly impacts the babies, the infants, and even into their adulthood. If the mother post-delivery suffers, even right from pregnancy. So a woman who suffers depression during pregnancy is likely to have other pregnancy-related complications. They may go into preterm labor. They may have excessive bleeding. They tend to be hospitalized a lot more, you know. And then after delivery, the mother herself, her mood, the self-care, cannot take good care of themselves, her nutrition. Then on the baby. So this mother is not happy herself. She's not feeding. She says, I haven't given birth, so nobody should bring the baby near me. So they don't get to breastfeed the way we want breastfeeding done, because she's not in the right frame of mind. So these babies don't get breastfed. And breastfeeding is extremely important for the health, the growth, and development of the baby. The breast milk has all the nutrients, a lot of water, the antibodies that help the body, the baby to develop immunity to fight off their own infections. And when we make the babies to breastfeed, the baby is making the effort and getting the reward. You suckle, you get milk. You suckle, you get milk. When you're full, you stop. It teaches the babies the jaw exercise. It teaches the babies to work for reward. And this is serious, scientifically proven. And so that baby knows that when I am full, I need to stop eating. So she wouldn't grow and be overeating and become obese. Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
Wow.
You know, so breastfeeding is a gold mine for the baby's growth, development, including future health. You know, and so this mother is down. So she can't breastfeed. And the baby is missing out on that. These babies tend to be fed formula. And in the use of formula, something goes wrong. The baby gets a bad diarrhea. Baby gets so sick. Baby gets hospitalized. That is an added stress.
Painful bit about that for me is the constipation.
Yes, yes, exactly. The formula gives them a lot of constipation. You know, and sometimes trying to resolve the constipation, they give babies other things which tip it into diarrhea, infective diarrhea. And we easily lose these babies because they can't handle a lot of infection.
And all because mommy is not well enough.
Mommy's not well.
To be able to breastfeed you.
Yes. And somebody hasn't detected that mommy is not well. And asked mommy that let's go and get help.
Oh dear.
You know? And then the mother infant bonding.
It
gets disrupted. Yeah, it doesn't happen. So this baby grows up not knowing the feeling of human kindness. Baby has lost it. So they grow and their attitude to life is okay. Then some research that was done in northern Ghana found that the infants of mothers who suffered postpartum depression suffered stunted growth. Those babies, they are more like 3 times more likely to be stunted. Yes. You know, it affects them across. So there's every reason for us to, first of all, detect this thing promptly. And there are very basic interventions. Basic. Once we detect early, majority of the mothers would recover with just counseling and reassurance.
Right.
A few would require the help of the mental health nurse, or a clinical psychologist, or the psychiatrist.
Doc, let's talk a bit about the interventions. You also know that in our society, once we start talking about mental health, let's see a psychologist or a psychiatrist or somebody like that, then the thinking around it is that you're losing your mind. And you talked about it earlier. I mean, reason some ignorant in-laws and parents will tell you that don't get close to this person again because it's in the family, when it's actually something they developed because of, like you mentioned,
pregnancy,
hormones, hormonal changes, and all of those. So a bit about the interventions. And then also find out from you, about recurrence. If a woman goes through this, maybe her first child, and I think I tend to lean towards the research that says that it can happen even in your third child, because that one, the stress levels are everything else.
That is true.
So it can happen in the third child, but say you had it during the first child or the second child, and then now you understand, because you probably have been taken through counseling and all that, and you know.
Yeah.
Can it recur?
Good. So, the bit about the recurrence, the fact that the woman has had this in one pregnancy, to some extent, so may make her at increased risk of developing it again in her subsequent pregnancy.
Oh, rather.
Yes. But it is not a sure bet that it will happen. So, for me and for us as caregivers, it is a red flag that this woman is at high risk. And so we put interventions in place.
Please.
Right? For early detection, prompt intervention.
Okay.
Now, you know, in our culture, when a woman delivers, her mom tends to be very supportive.
Yes.
Yeah. So something we often will take for granted or gloss over is this pregnant woman does not have a living mom. Okay. So right from the course of her pregnancy, she has heard others say how their mom came over. She's already starting on a low note here. Yes. Why are you laughing?
I am laughing because that's my story.
Yeah.
Okay, dates way back, right? I lost my mom when I was in secondary school. Now I am understanding. Because then I remember, even during visiting days, I never want to get out of the dormitory, or I want to be locked up in the classroom, because nobody will come and visit you. Right from Form 1, nobody will come and visit you. And when people are visited with food and all that, and they share with you, you don't want to eat, because nobody will ever bring you anything for you to share with somebody.
Yeah.
So I can totally relate and I understand. I went through all my pregnancies alone. Yeah. Solely after delivery that my sister will come in to support you. But she was married with children too. So it means she has to leave her children, come and stay with you a bit. And my pregnancy, I read all the things in the world, because then you had to go through it all by yourself, you know. So I really can relate. And now that we are talking, I'm just going back and remembering all the things that I had to deal with, the many times you had to be by yourself and cry and be feeling very lonely and wishing your mom was there and all that. I'm just going back and so remembering all of it.
Yes, Alice, I mean, I am happy it makes practical sense.
Yes, it does.
You know, because then that woman is already wishing, oh, how I wish my mom was here. And that alone puts them at a bit, you know, of an edge, you know. And so that patient needs closer follow-up from us. Somebody who has had a mental problem before in any part of her life. Because even for somebody who hasn't had any mental problem, our research has established unequivocally that women are at the most vulnerable stage of mental health problems after delivery. Throughout a woman's life, forget about heartbreak, divorce, the time a woman is most vulnerable, the highest vulnerability is the period after delivery. Okay? And so that's the point, they need a lot of support. So if somebody doesn't have the benefit of her living mom, we know that that woman is likely a candidate for this. So we proactively seek to put interventions in place to help them. Now, so that's about the recurrence. The other question was about
interventions.
Yes. So what we do is, knowledge is power. Okay? We want everybody in society to be aware that a woman suffering some mental health, mood changes, being extremely anxious, crying for no reason, being unhappy, it's something that naturally can happen after childbirth. There are medical reasons why they happen. The problem is stigma. Okay, we stigmatize mental health unduly. But as a matter of fact, mental health is extremely important. You need to be very well mentally before any other thing can work for you. So anybody else can suffer any form of mental health disorder. If a woman after delivery or during her pregnancy is suffering this, there's no reason to stigmatize. Now, we stigmatize because we don't know. And the story I told you.
Yes.
One patient said, my friends stopped visiting me because they said behind me that when we go and visit her, we'll become sick, get some of her sickness. That is stigma.
Ignorance.
Yes, ignorance. And so the stigma grows with ignorance. The more awareness we create, like you were doing this morning, the more we inform the populace and the more we drive down the stigma. So the church has to know. All our social gatherings, we need to know that these are medical problems and we should be receptive and guide them to the point where they will need help and they can get help. We have a lot of community mental health officers, mental health nurses, psychiatric nurses, clinical psychologists, right down to the CHIPS level across our healthcare structure. So there
Joy,
is
99.7 FM.
But we be being willing to seek for help. Okay, let's stop locking them up. And a lot of people say they took them to the herbalists, they took them to the traditionalists, they slaughter various things.
Nothing changes.
Until somebody said, let's take her to the hospital, and then things got better.
Okay, so Doc, we'll be talking a bit more about the advocacy, right? The various places that we will have to look into for support and for the education. You talked about, for instance, we talked about the church. You want to talk about even schools. You want to talk to the communities.
Yeah.
You started it. Why would somebody be, having issues after birth and then we're taking this person to a herbalist? Mm. Really for what?
Yeah.
So we want to speak to these people who are at places of influence and educate them on what they can do. And of course, we who have the media space, are we even talking about this well enough? Generally, how are we treating pregnant? Look, being pregnant and having a baby is not a joke.
No,
you know, I said that I could relate to the baby number three, because I had baby number one, the baby number two were twins. And you will have them all around you, and then you still have to take care of this one for her to go to school. I remember in all of that, when I got pregnant with baby number three, my husband and I were both crying. Like number four.
Work has come.
We were both crying. It was like, Adam, seriously? I said, didn't you know that pregnancy will come? But it was a serious thing, And at that point where husband is probably the only person working, and so there's a lot of pressure. And if you don't take care, this can even break the bond you have in the family. So we have a lot of work to do, because there's a lot of pressure. We have a lot of work to do. Ahead of that, the rich taste of Dano milk makes a perfect combination with your tea, your oats, your gari soakings, your cocoa, and all others. And that gives you that great taste that you have always desired. Dano milk is a rich source of natural protein and fortified with vitamin A. It has several other vitamins and essential nutrients that keeps you nourished and healthy every day. Dano milk is also rich in protein, in iodine, in vitamin B12, in calcium. So choose Dano milk, because 100% of our milk is sourced from our farms in Europe. So we control the entire production process to ensure that the milk that gets to you is natural and has no contaminations whatsoever. Dano milk comes in different variants. We're talking about the Dano milk cool cow, or the plain powdered milk, the Dano milk coffee 3-in-1, the Dano milk chocolate 3-in-1, and Dano evaporated milk. Dano milk is affordable and in a shop near you. Choose tasty milk, choose Dano milk. Dano milk, go for it. And the Church of Pentecost brings us this information, Pentecost Hour. It's a religious broadcast program sponsored by the Church of Pentecost. And it comes your way with the chairman of the Church of Pentecost, Apostle Eric Nyamiche, on Joy FM every Sunday at 1:30 p.m., Hits FM Mondays at 5:30 a.m., and Joy Prime on Saturdays at 7 a.m. Tune in every Saturday, Sunday, and Monday as Apostle Nyamiche brings you life-transforming truth that nourishes the soul and ignites passion and restores hope in the nations. The Church of Pentecost, we are possessing the nations for the Lord. And once again, make sure that you have vital milk around you, because the joy of every parent is to see their children cheerful and hearty. To achieve this desire, every parent needs to ensure that their children are given nutritious foods that has the essential nutrients and multivitamins which can promote their welfare. One of such nutritious beverages is Vitamilk Soy Milk Drink. Vitamilk Soy Milk is made from natural soybeans, which is a good source of plant protein and vitamin B1 and 2. Vitamilk has no artificial coloring, no artificial flavorings, and no preservatives. So choose Vitamilk Champ for your children because it has plant proteins and it's nutritious, amazingly delicious and satisfying. You can have it in the regular soy milk drink. You can also have it in the multi cereal with no caffeine, choco, banana, strawberry, and also in the 250 ml and 1 liter Tetra pack. Vitamilk is indeed a nutritious beverage that feels good anywhere, anytime. Thank you very much for staying tuned in. This is Home Affairs. We have been talking about maternal mental health. And like I mentioned earlier, the whole of this month, we're going to be dedicating our time to talking about mental health. Especially so when you look at the society in which we are now. People's brains are busting, you know. And so we need to have conversations on how we can keep well. Our mental health, our general well-being is very, very important. So we will be having these conversations all through the month of May. And by the time we are done, I guess we as individuals will figure out how we can put stress under control and also help our mental well-being. Doc, the advocacy work that we want to do. I want us to start with the churches. You know, when you were talking about the CS, when you go for service, I mean, it's good to pray and we love to pray and sure. God. But I have a friend who says that God is good. Mm. And that is also why he gave doctors and put brains in their heads to also help us.
Exactly.
One of the goodness of God is to bless us with medical care.
Yes.
So when you go to places and you have people preaching and praying against, for instance, cesarean session. Mm-hmm. It is not your portion. Yeah. You shouldn't have it. Why would I want to go and have cesarean session peacefully?
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. You know, so there's a big place for us in the media to help with the awareness creation.
Mm.
Take the case of cesarean section, for instance. Just because of the fear of it, and a woman says, no, I've been told I need cesarean section, but you know what? I am praying that I deliver naturally. And that got me so scared, because assuming is one of the potentially life-threatening reasons why we say this woman should have a cesarean section. And she says she's praying she'll have a natural birth. What it means is she's going to attempt to go into labor naturally, and the worst may happen.
Hmm.
So if we in the church would also not help, then we are making things worse. So let the church also know that there are reasons why cesarean becomes necessary. So if I tell you, my patient, that you need cesarean section to safely deliver your baby, and you say you will not, your pastor said, "Sikai bian kaun," you shouldn't, then I am worried.
It means
we are working against each other.
Mm.
But we should work together for the welfare of our church members.
Sure.
Some people are not able to come for the cesarean section because of cost. So the church rather supports them.
Great.
Okay. So
and we
the
have
church
churches doing that.
Yes.
Great.
So those are the best examples we should learn from. Let us respect that what the medical science says. Let's encourage our church members to respond positively.
Mm.
It is all for the good reasons.
True.
Then there's also the point where in some of the churches, they said this person is pregnant, and because she's not married, the church is punishing them. Okay? That has been also reported to make the woman psychologically traumatized.
That one, yes.
You know, and some women, as a result of that, wait till late in their 40s. They said, no, because I was afraid I was going to suffer this punishment in church. Now help me to get pregnant. We check and all her egg reserves are gone. When she thought she could have had pregnancy earlier on. So the church punishing women for getting pregnant. I mean, the church must have their rules applied. But what is the point that you are making somebody depressed to the extent of having a risk of committing suicide just because she's pregnant?
Mm.
Can you not pray for her, for God to forgive her and carry on with her
life.
With her life and have a healthy baby and a healthy pregnancy outcome?
Yeah.
Who knows, that baby may become the next pastor.
Indeed.
Yes. You know, and then there's one critical group of patients who society doesn't pay attention to. A few weeks ago, I saw a 14-year-old who has just delivered the night before.
A teenager.
And I asked her during our ward rounds in one of the big hospitals, ward rounds. So, how did this pregnancy come about? She said, my mother had a mental sickness. So my mother sleeps on the streets. And I don't like her to be sleeping on the streets. So in the night, I go to be by her. Somebody raped me on one of those nights.
No way.
You know? And so the patient I'm seeing, that is the baggage this
that
little girl
is
carrying. Okay? Somebody somewhere, it could be a healthcare worker, a church person, they are going to lambast this girl. You know? And so it just makes things worse.
Oh.
And we need a society that is more responsive to the needs of these rather vulnerable people. And so that is why the bit of advocacy comes in. Social welfare needs to be strengthened.
Mm.
Yes. There are times that women deliver in the big hospitals and they abandon their babies and go. The thing is, why would a woman in her right sense of mind go through pregnancy, go through labor, deliver, and abscond and leave the baby? It only means something is not going well. And so these are the vulnerable in the society that society should make provision to take care of. We ourselves as healthcare providers, like I said, are taking steps, putting measures in place to be able to detect those who are at this high risk for these unfortunate developments so that we can avert them. Beyond that, the family, based on awareness, and I cannot finish talking about the role of in-laws, because we have been told that because of how powerful they are, if the in-law knows that my daughter-in-law after delivery could suffer these, she's the one who even say, hey, Akosia, what's going on with you? We need to go to the hospital. Yes. She's the same person who would take the in-law without knowing to the wrong places.
Mm.
And so traditional healers, we are all working together. People with postpartum mental health disorders need professional medical care. Bring them to the hospital. Whilst we're doing that, you can still do your prayers and support what we're doing.
Exactly.
We need the Ministry of Health to help us with a national policy in place. Because one of the things this situational analysis has brought up is that with the help of WHO and the Ghana Health Service has bought it, is that we need to put in place a way of screening all pregnant women. Okay? So just like you have the antenatal records book, we have the screening questions in there. So in the first trimester, we'll ask you a set number of questions to gauge your risk level. So based on that, we can say, no, we need to invite a clinical psychologist to start having sessions with you. Second trimester, we do that. Third trimester, we do that. After delivery, we do that. And those, based on the risk level, we prolong your contact with the clinical psychological support.
Great.
You know, but these can only work well if there's a national policy in place. So the call goes to Parliament. It goes to the Health Ministry, particularly the Minister of Health. The outgone minister was supportive and pledged his support. Now we have a representative of the president at the ministry. So these are very important calls, because you cannot have any effective reproductive, maternal, newborn, child, adolescent healthcare policy without a sound component of maternal mental health. Forget it.
Great. Doc, I think we have touched on almost everybody.
Yes.
On almost everything in this chain.
Yeah.
You know, I particularly liked it when we actually even started off with the healthcare system, you know, and I actually was amazed about the fact that it's not really part of what is taught in school.
Yeah.
And so we've had a lot of conversations. And also saying to you, we're now speaking on behalf of us women, that Doc, a lot of people will still not ask questions. Mm. So even if we're not asking questions, you know the things that are important.
Yeah.
Please chip them in during the sessions and educate us. But the last group of people, Doc, I want you to talk to. The women, we women ourselves, building resilience. And for women, we've talked a little bit about it, but for women who have partners, maybe the person, you're not married to the person, but you have a partner, you have a husband, what are their roles? One, the woman themselves building resilience, and then the critical support of the partners in this case.
Yeah. And that's extremely important, because we want the woman to build a resilience, that ability to withstand these things and be able to pull through them strongly, you know. And the research we did, there are some women who exemplified that. And how did they do that? Somebody said, when I was going through all the difficult things, I just told myself, oh, I'm going to have a baby at the end of the day. I'm going to have a child at the end of the day. I'm going to be called a mother. This too shall pass.
Great.
Okay, so these little ways of drawing some positive energy from within you, that is very, very,
very
critical.
Important.
Okay.
Yes.
Like we say, that attitude of fortitude, saying that, hey, there's a light at the end. You know, so that's important for you. You draw from your own strength. Now, others said when they spoke to other women, there's something they call validation. Okay. You are going through this, you are not sure if it is normal or not. Then you speak to another pregnant woman, you say, oh, I went through the same thing. Then, okay. She's validated your feelings. So that can be reassuring that, okay, it's not a big deal after all.
Mm.
So what did you do when you went through?
It's exactly.
I saw the doctor. I saw the midwife. And that's the beginning.
Uh-huh.
So talk to another person. Talk to somebody you look up to. Women said he spoke to their moms. And the mother said yes. And again, I'll come back to the in-laws. So talk to your mother. Talk to your mother-in-law. Okay? Then talk to the healthcare provider.
Mm.
We do what we call pregnancy schools, where now we gather all the pregnant women and teach them what to do and what not to do, what to expect during the various stages of the pregnancy.
Okay.
So when you have those gatherings, talk to other pregnant women and talk